Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job is speaking, and the Bible says, "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." Notice what he says. The Lord gave. We like that part. I like it when he gives us good stuff. I like it when he answers the prayer. I like it when he says, okay. I like it when I get what I want. But Job didn't stop, and neither does the truth about our God. As he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And he says, and we all too, blessed be the name of the Lord. The same God who gives also takes away. And he's good, and we ought to say, bless his name, whether he gives or he takes. I want to try to preach this morning on the God who takes. He takes as much as gives, and maybe in some ways more so. He removes, he withholds. He says, no. If you remember in Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis 2:17, you don't have to turn, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. God said to Adam, the tree's there, but you can't have it. I'm withholding that from you. I am saying no. And if you don't listen, you'll be sorry. Genesis 1:31, after God created everything, including that tree of knowledge and good and evil, here's what he said about it, and he's right. God saw everything, including that bad tree. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything he made was very good, including that tree of, could have used the word, choice. He did not want robots. He wanted Adam and Eve to love him because they loved him and obey him because they loved him, not because they didn't have any other option. And he said, it is good that everything I have made. Genesis 3:5, the devil says, he always has to add his two cents worth. When he's talking to Eve, here's what he said about the whole situation. He knows, God knows, he's aware of, and he has said no to you about that tree, not because it's a bad tree. It's not a bad tree. Look at it, my goodness. Look at that fruit. It's beautiful. But here's what he said. He knows, God knows, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God's. He says, God is withholding something good from you. He has told you no for something good. That's what the devil tries to tell us in our day. We need to remember, God is the source. I mean by that, it comes from, initiates, comes from, we receive from. He is the source of our peace. If you've got peace, it'll come from him. He is the source of our joy. If you ever have any real joy, it'll come from God. He is the source of our assurance. If you've got assurance in your heart this morning, it came from him. He gave it to you. And all those things that he gives, he can take away. He can withhold. If you have a desire to serve the Lord, that desire came from him. If you have a burden for the lost, that burden came from him. And the same God who gave can take away. I talked this morning about the God who takes. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Everything he does, everything, giving and taking is right, and he is holy in doing so. I say this morning, if we want to measure our faith, if we want to measure our spirituality, We dare not do it when we're getting stuff from God. And He's giving us what we long for and desire. But we should measure our spirituality, we should measure our faith when He has taken from us and said no to us. I want to ask you this morning, why does God take away? Why does He withhold? Why are there times that He says no? Could have mentioned first, because of our distance. Promise you, most of us have no idea how far we are from God. Most of us probably think we're pretty close, fairly close, doing pretty good with our fellowship with God. But if we could really see ourselves as we are, I'm afraid we'd be surprised to realize how far we are, how little time we spend with Him, how few minutes each week we spend in prayer or reading the Bible or meditating on Him or even coming to church. Our distance, our fellowship is one reason why God sometimes takes from us. We're not near as close as we think we are. You see, we want the thrill and the excitement of a close walk without having the close walk. We want the results without paying the price of time in prayer and time in the Word and dedicating our thoughts and our times to Him. I ask you this morning, I tell you what, sometimes God takes from us that thrill and that excitement and that jubilation because we're not as near as close to Him as we think. And what He will do sometimes, listen to this, look here, He'll back up off of us. He will withdraw His Spirit and withdraw His presence to where we'll realize how far we are from Him. And hopefully wake up and realize, I need to get closer. He withdraws, He takes His Spirit. Not that we're lost, not that we've lost the relationship, but the fellowship and the closeness and the excitement and the joy and the peace and the thrill. He backs that off of us to make us hungry, to make us desire Him. Sometimes He takes away because of our distance. He wants us closer. And He has to show us what it's like without Him to make us hungry. He'll do it. I'm glad He does. He takes away. He takes away because of our distance. He takes away because of our development. It says in Hebrews 11:34, in fact, turn, I want you to look at these words while I'm reading them. Hebrews 11, verse 34. Turn quickly. Hebrews 11, verse 34 says, He is explaining here about the lives of some godly people and how God helped them through their problems. Notice what it says in verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. I see several things in that verse, but I see first the fact that God let them go through battles. God let them go through trials. He took away their peace. He took away their easy road and let them go through the battle. But notice what it says about them in the midst of these battles. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They were violent in fight. Hey, listen, and they turned the flight of the aliens. In other words, God didn't take them through an easy road. He took their protection away and let the enemies attack. He took their easy road away and let the battles come. But in the midst of their battles, He gave them grace. In the midst of their trouble, He gave them help. In the midst of their weakness, He gave them strength. He took away the peace. He took away the protection. He took away the easy road. But in the midst of the battle, He gave them grace to go through with victory. They won the battle. And there's times that God will lower the fence, lower the hedge, and let the devil attack you. He'll take the protection away for a while. He'll lower the hedge and let the battles come and let the problems come and let the difficulties come. But He's doing it for a reason. He wants us to trust Him in the midst of the trial. He wants us to trust Him in the worst of the battle. When the enemy's attacking and the problems are the worst, God wants us to trust Him to give us grace to go through with victory. He doesn't want a storm-free life for us. He doesn't want a trouble-free life for us. It would be the worst thing that could happen to us because we'd be soft and cushy and selfish and worthless. But when battles come and we trust Him, and it develops us to where when the battles do come, we do trust Him. That's when He gets the glory. When we know we can't make it, and He gives us grace to make it anyway, we have to say, thank you, God, for what you did for me through that battle. And that's why He takes the protection away and lets the devil come to where he can get glory and we can get help. He can be honored and we can be helped. What a good God we have. He knows what He's doing when He takes things away. You'd never know His grace if the battle hadn't come. You'd never know His comfort if you hadn't been hurting. You'd never know His love if you hadn't felt like nobody loved you. And that's why He said, let things happen to attack us and go through troubles that we do not desire and do not like, but He knows what He's doing. Why does God take things away? Because of our distance, because of our development, because of our disobedience. There are times that He takes things away because we haven't listened to Him. We haven't obeyed what He's already said. God's best gifts are reserved for those who obey Him. And if we're not obeying Him, He takes those good gifts away. That we could have, we do not get because of our disobedience. The person who's walking in disobedience just will not expect joy. Just will not expect peace. Just will not expect the burden. Just will not expect the desire. Just will not expect the assurance. All those things I mentioned when I first started this message, all those things that God gives, He will not give to the disobedient child. And I understand why. You parents and grandparents, if your child or your grandchild disobeys, are you going to reward them for their disobedience? Of course not. That would ruin them. And our Father knows what's best for us. And if we're not walking in His will, we wonder, why don't I have joy? Are you obeying Him? I wonder, where's my peace? Are you obeying Him? I wonder, where's my assurance? Are you obeying Him? I wonder, where's my burden? Where's my desire? Where's the thrill of being saved? Are you obeying Him? He'll take those things away, rightfully so. God doesn't have time out, but I'll tell you one thing. He'll make sure we realize our disobedience does have a cost. our disobedience. We're not obeying Him. We're not doing what He says or what He desires or what He demands. You see, He lets me see me. And me is ugly, and me is vile, and me is selfish. And as long as everything's going smooth, I probably ain't going to see me. But when I get so tired of no joy and tired of no peace and tired of no thrill and tired of no burden, that I finally say, Lord, what's wrong? And He'll say, what about you? Have you been obeying me? He makes us look at ourselves, and He shows us and makes us see our lack of patience. Makes us look at our jealousy problem, and makes us look at our selfishness problem, and makes us look at our greed issues and our pride issues. He makes us look at ourselves and what we see we don't like, but we need to see it. And had we never had those things, those good things taken away, we'd have never been forced to look at ourselves. I'm talking about, why does God take away? Because of our distance, because of our development, because of our disobedience, because of our desire. Eve looked at that fruit, and God even said it was good-looking fruit. I sort of think it may have been the best-looking fruit in the garden. Whether it was the best or not, it was good. And it was something to be desired. Now, in that case, it was sin. In that case, it was wrong. In that case, it would have been the worst thing Eve did, and she did the worst thing she could possibly do, and so did Adam. But there are times we just want things, and we want what's not, listen to me, what's not best for us. Sometimes our desire is the reason God takes things from us or withholds things from us. Just like with Eve, the whole garden was there that she could have eaten all she wanted. And God said no to that tree, not just to make her suffer or Adam. Not because He didn't love them, but because He did love them. And He's saying, don't eat of that tree, not only because it's wrong, but listen to me this morning. Because I got something better for you. I know what you want, but I've got something better than what you want. And that's why I say no to what you want. That's why I'm saying no to what you're wanting. That's why I'm taking away that you won't, because I've got something better. He takes away because of our desire. The Bible says in Exodus, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. For 40 years, 6 days a week, God had given them manna. For 40 years, 6 days a week, all they had to do was go out and pick it up. But the moment they ate of the fruit, the corn, the food of the promised land, the manna instantly ceased. They never ate it again. Did that mean manna was wrong? No, manna was good. But God had something better. And a lot of times we're wanting something that in our eyes we think is good, but God says, hey, I know better than you. And what I'm wanting to give you is better than what you're wanting. So I'm going to take away what you want so I can give you something better. Our desire. What we want. Hey, we spend our lives trying to convince God to do it our way. Check your prayer life. What we ask Him for. while we pray about, Lord, do it this way. Lord, do it that way. Lord, heal them. Lord, help them. Lord, and listen, improve the matter. Improve the problem. Take away the issue. Make things easier. Our whole prayer life is involved with God, do it my way. How long has it been since you said, God, what do you want? What do you want? What's your will? Because His will is better. The Bible says, shall I, the judge of the world not do right? And He does. Jesus told His disciples, I'm doing something now. You don't even understand it. And many times that's what God does in our lives. What He's doing, we don't understand. But if we realize I can trust Him, He's wanting something better than what I'm wanting. He took away something. Maybe had been all right, maybe good, because He wanted to give me something better. He takes away because of our desire. What we want may be okay. It's just not the best. Listen to me. We don't see what's ahead. But God does. We don't know what would have happened had He given us that we won't, but He knows. Listen. Had He given it to you, it may have been your greatest failure. It may have led to disaster and heartbreak and embarrassment. You may have regretted, like Israel said, we want a king. And God said, if you have a king, you'll be sorry that I gave him to you. And they said, we still want a king. And He gave them what they wanted. But they were sure sorry when they got it. I'm talking about a lot of times our desire, even sometimes something that seems to us to be okay and good, may not be the best thing. So He says, I want to withhold your desire, because I have a desire to give you something better. I said already, we can't see what God sees. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You have to make sure Baptists are listening, and some of you still ain't. Now, listen to me. That sick bed you went to may have protected you from disaster. Because if you had been well, you may have done something bad. That hindrance along the highway that irritates us may be God protecting us from death or disaster. He knows what He's doing. We don't know the future, but He does. Had He healed you, you may have used your health to dishonor Him. Hey, that car you wanted so bad may have been a lemon. That house you wanted so bad may have been a disaster. Listen, that girl you wanted, that boy you wanted, may have been the worst mistake you ever made. So He let your heart break, and He took her away, and He took him away, and He let you weep. And He may have even let you get a little mad at Him, because He knew He had something better. Listen, He takes away because He knows His plan is best. Hey, I didn't say good, even though His plan is good. I didn't even say better, even though His plan is better. I said best. His plan is the best. More than good, more than better, the best. So I say, Lord, if you need to, take it away. Say no, because you know best. I don't want to make a mess. I don't want to make the wrong decisions. Lord, take it away if that's what's best for me. I'm talking about our desire, what we're wanting, that we think is okay. It may be the worst mistake we ever make. Here's what Jesus said. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He said, your good Father give you good things. Your greater Father give you greater things. If a daddy knows how to give good things to their children, God's surely greater than the good Father. And it says, much more, he's going to give you the best things. Then lastly, why does God take away? Why does he say no? Because of our distance, because of our development, because of our disobedience, because of our desire, because of our dependence. We just sang a minute ago, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, trusting. So many times, we're trusting ourselves and we don't even realize it. Depending on ourselves and we don't even recognize it. So listen. He'll take away our props. He'll take away that we're depending on. He'll take away the easy road. He'll take away that we're trusting in. He'll take it away to where we have nothing but him. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you realize if God doesn't take care of this, I've had it. If he doesn't work, if he doesn't take care of this problem, if he doesn't handle the situation, it's gone. It's hopeless. I am hopeless without him. I promise you, listen. You didn't get there until he took your props away. Those things you were depending on. The banker, the job, the paycheck, the friend, yourself, your ingenuity, your manipulation, your know-how, things working out, fickle fate, until those things were gone and you had to trust only him. We didn't really trust him until then. And that's why he takes those things away, because of our dependence. He wants us to realize he is our only hope. He is the only one we can depend on. But listen to me. He's not only the only one we have to depend on. He's the only one we need to depend on. Because he himself, by himself, is enough for whatever you're going through. And that's why he takes your props out. Listen to me. This is for some more people, more than one. Listen to me. That's why he let that thing happen to you. Did you hear that? That's why he let it happen. Because he wants you to trust in nothing or no one but him. And I'm glad we can. If I have nothing or no one but him, he's enough. Because of our dependence, to where we'll trust him when things are bad, when things are dire, when things are difficult, when things are impossible, we trust him with all of our heart. He takes those things away. And when we get to heaven and we see all this, we'll say, thank you, Lord, for how you did it. So let me close with these thoughts. First, recognize if he's taking your joy and peace away, maybe because you're not as close to him as you need to be. He's taking those things away to make you hungry. Hey, this isn't just for the individual. This is for the church. He'll back off of a church to show us we need to get closer. He'll back off of a person to show us, hey, you got too many priorities in your life. I don't come first. My time with you is not near as important as it ought to be. Realize, recognize, see it, admit it, recognize. Recognize the issue. If it's a problem and if it's an issue that he's trying to develop you, recognize that. My God is doing something to help me and to mature me. I'm going to let him do it. Recognize, realize. If it's some area of disobedience and you're not getting his best because you're not walking close to him and obeying him, recognize it. Open your eyes to it. If he has said no or taken something away you desire, recognize that he did right. Number one, recognize. Number two, react. In other words, since he's shown you, do something about it. Get closer. If it's because you're not close enough, get closer, move closer to him. Don't just stay where you're at. Get closer. Do what it takes to get the help you need that will honor and please him. Not only recognize, but react. Do the right thing. If it's something he's trying to develop you, surrender to that work. Accept his help and walk on with God. And thank him when he gives you the victory. I'm talking about recognizing. I'm talking about react. Do the right thing. If you're wanting something that he don't want you to have, say, Lord, thank you. I'll forget it. If you want to give it to me later, fine. If you don't ever, that's fine. Not only recognize and react, but rely. Trust him. Rely on him, leaning on the everlasting arms. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. And he does the right thing the right way all the time to all people, including me and you. Recognize that. React to that. Rely on him. Trust him. He loves you. He knows what's best, and he'll never do what's wrong. Listen, what we'll do if we ain't careful, I'm trying to quit. May not sound like it, but I am. Let me just take one little thought of the message and make a point. If we're not careful, let's use the church for an example. We'll come to church, and there's not an excitement, a particular service, and it seems awful dead. And it seems like nothing's moving, including the Lord. And nobody goes to the altar. Nobody shouts. And nobody hardly says amen. And the preacher mutters through. If you're not careful, instead of saying, Lord, we need your touch. Maybe you backed off of us just a little bit to make us hungry. And instead of getting hungry and begging God to move the next time, we're liable to go home and say, what in the world's wrong with that preacher? What in the world's wrong with that church? My goodness, what a dead service. Hey, and we ain't careful, we'll go the wrong way. And the next service will be worse. I'm talking about respond rightly. Go after God and his will. And trust him. I think I'm done. Our good God gives, but our good God takes away. And he does both in love. Let's stand together.